Do you remember this little book? It was the first one I printed for the Sangha many years ago. It's a very small Sangha. I don't think we printed many, but it's a selection of pith teachings of Sri Ramana. This selection, actually very adeptly sequenced, titled Thus Spake Ramana, echoing, of course, the Zarathustra book of Nietzsche, which is an interesting juxtaposition. Let's read a few of these selected teaching points, because they bring us back to the fundamental reality that we must be absorbed into. The One Self, the sole reality, alone exists eternally. Okay? This is the first important point. There is only one self, not many. The one self exists eternally. When even the ancient teacher Dakshinamurti revealed it through speechless eloquence, who else could have conveyed it by speech? Dakshinamurti was the original yogi of this lineage of Satyoga. And they say that he was so pure a being that the absolute radiance and splendor of Shiva's presence shone through his form so powerfully that no words were necessary, and the truth was transmitted vibrationally. And that's the way yoga was taught in those first generations, without any little books or words or shastras or any need for explaining conceptually that there is only one self, because the one self filled the space with a single vibrational constancy of absolute presence that eliminated the illusion of separate individuals. So that's the first approach, that silent realization of the one self that you are, because you cannot be anything else but that. Reality is at once being and consciousness. To know that is to be that in the heart, transcending thought. So, reality is being and being is consciousness. But not the kind of consciousness that the ego has, which is a constant stream of thoughts and images and emotions and attitudes and projections, etc. But pure awareness that is egoless. As soon as the I thought comes in, being morphs into becoming. Because once the acquisition of language happens, there is a stream of associations. One thought leads to another, and the identity becomes encrusted with its own self-labeling and the internalization of the labelings of other beings who are speaking in ways that affect one's understanding of that reality. But in its purity, the consciousness itself is the entirety of being, and there is no need to learn from any external source, because there is no projection of an external reality. Reality is being, being is consciousness. One must know that in the heart. And by in the heart, meaning know it as the feeling of the absolute blissful realization of the eternal consciousness of pure beauty and light. So, to know it is to be it. But then Ramana says, absolute surrender to the Supreme Lord, whereby the, quote, I and, quote, mine are destroyed, is the one means to realize immortality. So, you can know that simply by being it, but if you cannot realize that you are it, then you can, from the place of impure consciousness that is in duality, the second approach is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. But who is the Supreme Lord? Simply that being consciousness that is the self. So the surrender is to the self. But what surrenders to the self? The I thought, the I and the mine, which is taken from, stolen from, the beingness of pure consciousness, and put into a linguistic model of reality that then becomes egocentric rather than God-centric. Rather than centered in being, it now becomes a vector of becoming that seeks to fulfill its own lack of being through the possession of objects. But once there is no I, there is no mine, no ability to hold on to an object, because consciousness cannot hold anything. Consciousness is pure awareness without grasping, because it is all pervading, all containing, all loving. So there are no intentions to consciousness. Pure presence is what you are. So we have two ways. You can realize that being in the heart, or you can surrender to that being. But can you absolutely surrender? It's not a partial surrender. It must be absolute, meaning the entirety of the mind must be given back to the source of intelligence and consciousness, so that no remainder of a sense of separation continues. The Supreme Being, the one ultimate cause of the universe, manifests as many which do not exist apart from the One. To destroy the ego and be as the self is the supreme method of attainment. But to destroy the ego means to destroy an illusion, because no ego actually exists. Only the signifier of an ego, the term I, only that, and a misleading identification of the I with its bodily vehicle. And it is that knotting of consciousness to the vehicle that creates the suffering, the karma, and the lostness in an illusory world from which salvation can only come through destroying the ego, through absolute surrender to the Supreme Lord, and to be that one. To he who is one with the formless self, everything is formless. Existence of the world is merely relative. The world is really synonymous with the mind. Everything that you think exists externally is only in your mind. You have never left the precinct of your mind to know anything external except via the illusion of projection. Since it is knowledge that illumines the world, the former is ulterior to the latter. In other words, the world is only an object of knowledge, and what is known is only the mind itself. The knowledge alone is real, whichever remains changeless. Worship under name and form is only a means to realize one's absolute identity with the nameless and formless. So, the problem for the postmodern ego that can neither realize its absolute beingness, nor can it surrender to the Supreme Lord. What does it do? Well, Ramana has created another approach, which is Atma-vichara, which is simply to inquire, but to inquire deeply within. Who am I? Whose mind is this? Who has created and believes in the I thought and believes that that I can have possessions and power and status and objects of desire, etc., etc.? That is an illusion. If you inquire honestly, truthfully, and deeply into the self, the ego illusion will fall away. And what's more, and ultimately what gives the power of that, is that what will be present is the radiant splendor of the real self that you are. And once that blissful energy of pure being consciousness is realized, then there would be no longer any motivation to return to the ego scenarios of illusory desire and fear and suffering that that entails. So the inquiry, surrender, self-realization are all three aspects of the same truth that can be realized actively, passively, or interrogatively. But what must be realized is the Supreme Lord that determines, creates the ego, sustains it, and has the power to destroy it. And once the ego is destroyed, because the world is a projection of the ego, that world also decollapses the quantum wave functions that keep it in a certain projected form and allow the absolute freedom of consciousness to once again redream the world. One is trapped in one's own nightmare of projection based on a false identity that is centered upon a lack of being, a lack of love, a lack of worthiness and goodness, a lack of true essence. That lack is the illusion, but one must go into it through Atma-vichara to discover that what is lacking is actually an emptiness that is the space of the real in which the fullness of the Absolute Lord can enter once there is a surrender rather than a defensive shield against feeling that overwhelming nothingness which makes the ego feel like an imposter and always fragile and on the state of collapse. But it is necessary to collapse it, to withdraw it back into the pure essence of presence, of sat-chit, being consciousness. And once all of the projections have been withdrawn into the center point, the ground zero of the heart, then the blissful, luminous presence of the Supreme, true being emerges as yourself. This is the moment for the return to the source of our being and bring back the many into the realization of the one. May you attain the presence, the silence, the stillness that enables the ignition of the supreme light in your heart as a manifestation and avatar of the one God. May you know the peace that comes from realizing the bodiless eternal self and enter into that changeless presence that is the real of immortality. And may you feel the even deeper peace of the blissful presence of the Supreme Lord, fully merged into the heart and filling the soul with the radiant beauty, power, and intelligence of the God Self. And may you know the supreme peace that comes of the total and absolute merger into the uncreated, absolute, supreme beingness. That you have always been and ever shall be, beyond all illusions, all worlds, all mental formations. And may you never forget the truth of what you are.